Good morning. We are really happy to have you here today. As you notice, we have a special service, this communion service. But I want to do something a little different. Normally, we have our sermon during the communion service. Today, I want to do something different. We are getting close to the last few Sabbaths in this property. This property was purchased in 1956, February 1956, by the members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church of Aiken. And it was in our property until last year in October when we finally were able to sell this property. So since October through March, we are being like without a church, pretty much homeless, right? And has been a little challenging for you, for activities, and now from being owners, now you are renting, and that means that you need to ask permission every single time that you are doing something, and things are changing here, and I don't know how that made you feel, like, why are you changing this? Well, this is no longer our church. And it has been a lot of challenges. Well, I want to let you know that yesterday, the county of Aiken did the final inspection for the new Aiken Seventh-day Adventist Church, and it was approved.
Amen.
The building is ready to use. We can transition anytime now that we want to. But we are suggesting that the first Sabbath will be April 1st. April Fool's Days. Right. You can apply in many ways. So April 1st will be our first Sabbath. Sister Gloria, what day will be? April 1st, right? Robert, can you hear me there? So April 1st, where will we be meeting? At the new church. Please don't come here because you won't find anyone here, right? So all the activities will transition from this location to the new location. In fact, here we have like few items that it will take us maybe less than half a day to move. We will do that toward the end of this month to avoid disruptions. So following Sabbath, we will have worship in here. And the following one, then it will be at the new location. It's potluck, so you know it's food and it's a day for rejoicing. You know, reflecting on this, yesterday after the inspector finally say yes to us. One of the things that he mentioned that I want to share with you is that he was very happy. He thinks that the building is a beautiful building, and he liked it because it's safe. He said, this is a good building, it's very safe, and I'm really proud of this building, and I'm happy for you. This is one of the safest buildings that we have in our community, and I'm really happy for your congregation. So please keep that in mind when you transition in this new stage in the church. You know, the Lord has given us a church with capacity for 200 people. And in reality, you can fit in that building 225 people comfortably. It's more space than what we are asking for. And look at this sanctuary. We have capacity here for 90 people. And so it's kind of like God is giving us an elephant, right? It's a big building, and now it's up to us what we will do with that, right? It's a new church, it's a new beginning, it's a new opportunity to do ministry. Amen. So please keep that in your prayers so the Lord continue speaking to you. I was reflecting on that, and I have to tell you honestly, and I have to open my heart to you today. It was like a bittersweet moment. It made me sad because for the last, 4 years, we have been struggling with this in many, many ways. And you know the challenges that we confronted, right? Challenges with finances, challenges with what direction to go, challenges in what building to have, and many, many challenges. And every single time that a challenge appeared, you know, somehow God provided a solution for us. Do you remember last year in October, we were 2 weeks before the construction to start, and we haven't even closed the sale of this building. And we knew that without selling this building, there was not enough funds for that. And 1 month previous to the beginning of the construction, we get the offer, and exactly like a month later, we closed the building. After, 3 years trying to sell and not getting offers or anything? So, you know, I reflect in all the things that happened to us. Maranatha was here helping us, remember? And the first weekend, we have a hurricane. And aching, like when that happened, you know, like we barely get rain here, but we have a hurricane during that weekend. So think about all these things and reflecting on that, I'm really grateful. God has been good. And God loved the Aiken Church so much. He had helped us so much. And He continues to help us. We need to move by faith, right?
Amen.
And we acknowledge we are not the biggest or the stronger church in town. But we are willing to listen to God. Amen?
Amen.
You pay attention to the story that we have today with the kids. And this is not something that we coordinate with my wife or anything. But I want to talk to you about something today that maybe you had experienced before. And it's the act of listening to God. The Bible explains in more than 250 times that people need to listen to God. One of the most common phrases used by Jesus is, "The one who has ears, let him hear the message," right? And you find it in Revelation, you find it through the New Testament, you find it in the Old Testament, many, many references. God is speaking to His people. "Oh, listen, all Israel, your God is only one God." You know, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4. So they're one of the most famous texts in the Old Testament. So time after time, God is kind of like trying to reach to people. And the question for you today is, are you listening? How are your listening skills working? You know, it's interesting for me when I try to communicate with people. Because in occasions, because my accent, it seems like people don't get it. Right? I tell you many times. I remember walking at Home Depot one day, and I asking this attendant here, "Where is the section for the trailers?" And the guy looked at me, "What?" And I repeat my question, "Where is the section for the trailers?" And he didn't get it. You know, the metal boxes that you attach to your truck, and I had to start describing the thing. "Oh, trailers, yeah, let me point it." So after repeating myself 3 or 4 times, he finally get it. And you know what? It's not because they don't want to. It's because we don't use our skills, our listening skills really well. You know, we hear people speaking and we hear people noises, right? Our society today is very busy. And people are so distracted all the time. You can find somebody at home, maybe watching TV, using the laptop, speaking with somebody at the cellular phone and doing all these things simultaneously. Maybe playing a video game, right, Ryan? So you're trying to do 3 or 4 times with your brain at the same time because we are multitasking all the time. But in terms of communicating with God, we need to make an effort. This is something that you don't acquire easily. It requires discipline. It requires training. It's like the act of praying. You think that praying is easy, but it's more complicated than that, right? Otherwise, try to pray when you wake up in the morning, like around 5 o'clock, and see what happened to you. Well, if you are like me, you will wake up all excited about praying, and then 5 minutes later, what happened? Your brain is drifting away, and you are dreaming with green pastures or whatever you are dreaming, right? And your prayer kind of like goes away, and that happened to us all the time. You are in a sermon, and you are listening to a dissertation, and the dissertation takes too long. What happened to your brain? Start like drifting away. Ooh, lunch. When this thing will be finished? It's a nice day. I probably had to go out to walk this afternoon. So, and your brain is always thinking, and that doesn't mean that we are always applying our listening skills. So you find in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, a story that is kind of like unique. And I have to tell you, this story is not common. This is not like the things that happen to all of us, right? We need to make some affirmations, some declarations today that, in my opinion, they are universal. Number one, God is real. Amen?
Amen.
Number two, He is still communicating with people. Amen?
Amen?
He does in many ways. He doesn't always use words, but His influence can be felt in many, many ways. One of the most common ways for us as Christians to get God's voice is through the Bible. This is a very simple truth. Everybody should know that. So how you get in contact with God's voice? Through Scripture, through prayer, reading. You get in tune with God, and God will reveal to you His will. So meaning, if you don't read the Bible, you don't listen to God's what? God's voice, God's will. So you need to get in contact with the Scripture to be able to listen to God. Now, the Bible is telling us here that the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. This is 1 Samuel 3:1. "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation." And so the sentence is telling you that God wasn't speaking to his people. Why? Because they didn't what? Listen. So God talked to us and talked to us until the point that we are not paying attention. And then what happened? He stopped talking. Then it's silent. It's no more. Right there. Why? Because we don't want to hear the message. And the nation was confronting a transition period between the land that was promised to them into being now settled and getting more comfortable and getting more prosperity. And things were going wrong, especially among the priests. If you read the previous chapter, you will discover that the high priest and his two sons, they were very corrupt. More his two sons than the high priest. The old man never stopped his sons, and they were abusing and doing terrible things in ministry. So God somehow kind of like withdrew from that circumstances. But eventually, something happened. And here you encounter in 1 Samuel 3 a message that God is delivering. And the person that he chose to speak is a young man. The Bible says he was a child. So we don't know exactly how old was Samuel. A lot of people want to think that he was maybe like 5 or 6 years old. I don't know how old he was. But he wasn't to the age of 13 when in Israel a young man was considered a man, right? So he was a child. And God started talking to this young man, but because he never had that experience with God, he didn't know, right? You find the story is interesting. Let's go and continue reading verse number 2. And it came to pass at the time Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes were begun to grow so dim that he could not see it, and before the Lamb of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down. So Samuel, it seems like he asleep inside the sanctuary. Right? No more. At that time, the sanctuary was a small tent, and it had the two basic subdivisions. And the young boy was sleeping, not in the most holy place, but in the holy place. You know, you discover later when Solomon built the first temple that they built habitation and places for the priests to sleep because they live in there. They minister in there all the time, day and night, you know, taking care of the whole building and protecting the lamp and the oil and all these details that they need to provide for the worship in Israel. So the young man is sleeping there. And somehow God started reaching to him, right? Then verse number 6, the Lord called yet again Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." So here you find that the message was so clear that he heard a voice calling by his name and he thought that it was Eli, right? So he go and start, "Did you call me?" And what was the answer? "No, I didn't call you. Go sleep." So these moments when you think that your child is maybe dreaming things or listening, maybe he was half asleep, something happened, probably he didn't pay attention. When it happened the second time, again, he get a little annoying, and imagine the high priest, you know, getting bothered because this kid doesn't let him sleep, but then send him back to sleep. Finally, when it happened the third time, he said, "Well, something is wrong here, right? I'm not calling you, and you are hearing voices, and you are sleeping in the sanctuary. Maybe it's God trying to talk to you." You know, the high priest was accustomed to this event to happen previously. Now it's happening again, right? So he gave instruction to the young man. When you go there back, you lay down and you wait. And when you listen to the boy, then you need to talk to God, right? And this is, to me, one of the most beautiful verses that you will find here in the Old Testament. "And the Lord came and stood and called as the other time." This is 1 Samuel 3:10, right? "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant," what? And so that's an amazing answer right there, right? Not only am I here as your servant, but I'm willing to what? To listen in to you, right? To pay attention to whatever you have to say to me. So in your personal devotion and in your personal time when you pray to God, how do you feel about this? Have you ever considered or being in the necessity that God answered to you in a specific way? That ever happened to you? That you are praying for something so specific, "Lord, I need an answer. Please answer to me." And God had answered to you. Do you remember that ever happened to you? The Lord speaks in so many ways. We have people that receive information through dreams, right? And I always kind of like a little concerned with dreams because they are not always come from God. But I realize that God speaks through dreams to people. He does also through other members of the church, right? I told you that I have a very eerie experience once in New York City working for this church. We have this lady, she was preaching a week of prayer in that church. And I saw her, I met her before, but I haven't had the chance to talk to her. And she approached me and started talking to me in a very specific way in reference to a problem that I was confronting at the time. I haven't mentioned to her anything, and that was kind of like odd, to be honest, right? Because think about it. I saw you for the first time. Hi, Becky, how are you doing? And then you said, oh, by the way, the problem that you are asking God to do, he will say this and this and this. Has that ever happened to you? So I start like a little confused, and I want to be respectful. I didn't want to, you know, offend her or anything. So I listened to what she had to say to me, and I was grateful for whatever she had to say to me. And then she moved away, you know, to leave. So I, of course, go and talk to my father-in-law. I say, listen, have you talked to this person? Have you mentioned anything about my problem? No. I haven't talked to her about you or anything like that. So, you know, God is interesting in the way that he is always trying to reach us, right? What I hear from that woman that day was what I need to hear from God to me at that specific moment. So I feel and I remember that the Lord is trying continuously to reach to people, especially his people. The problem is for us, we get so distracted that we don't practice the skill of listening anymore, right? We want to do our own thing. We want to do our own will. So here in 1 Samuel, you find a way when the Lord is speaking so clearly, there is no doubt in the mind of this young man that God is trying to reach. What was the reason for this message, by the way? Do you remember? What was the reason for that message? Well, I challenge you to read the rest of the chapter at home, right? The reason for that message is to instruct the high priest about what will happen to him and to his two sons, and how God will pretty much punish them for their sins. So it's a very sad message, but the young man had to deliver it, and he did. He delivered the message. Now, what about Jesus? Do you feel that Jesus was able to listen to God? Let me share some things with you really quick here. Number one, he was in continued communication with his father. You find plenty of evidence in the New Testament that he spent hours and hours in prayer, right? We don't know exactly what he prayed with God, but we think, well, I assume that a lot of this time was not only for talking, but it's also for what? For listening. Because you and I, we are really good to talk, right? We go and we start praying, right? God, I need this, I need that, please help someone, help this, bless me here, bless me there. Oh, remember that other problem. We are always asking, right? Very seldom we will offer something from us, right? Something like, oh, by the way, Lord, whatever you need from me, please come with me, I will do it, right? Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? Whatever you want from me, Lord, ask me, and I will do it. That's a challenging prayer right there. And we are like a little afraid of that kind of prayers, right? So we are more good to ask and to request things from God. But what about in this communication process to listening to him, right? What God wants from you? What he wants from me? You know, and it's challenging for us because we develop our own plans and we have our own ideas and we don't want to change for anyone. So Jesus spent hours. John 7:16 mentioned that he spent hours praying the whole night, trying to get in tune and listening to God and doing always God's will. You remember in many occasions when people was asking for miracles, what was Jesus' answer? You don't see no miracles because I'm doing the will of the one who sent me, right? So whatever it happened because he wanted it to happen. Otherwise, it won't happen. Right? It's not like a capricious idea that I will do a miracle to impress you. No, no, no. That idea was in Jesus' mind. He was always trying to do the will of the Father. So you find that in many, many occasions. And that, to me, is a good example of what we should do today as a Christians, especially living in the times that we are living right now. Right? Listening is a good discipline. Second, Jesus has a great ability to listen to other people, right? When he, especially when he was dealing with the people that was rejected, the people that was suffering. So how the Lord pay attention to the details. Let me give you an example that is always interesting to me. You remember when he's dealing with the woman that was caught in adultery, right? And they are trying to kill her. And their argument is that she's a sinner. And in reality, she was. But the Lord is probably listening to what? To her. You know, the people didn't pay attention to her side of the story. Why she was doing these things. What circumstances pushed her to get to that situation. What they can do as a society to help her. Nobody was talking about that thing. So the Lord needs to figure out a way to rescue her from these people that they want to kill her. Right? And he devised this amazing answer. The one who doesn't have sin, throw the first stone. And they realized that they were very hypocritical. Because in reality, everybody at that moment realized they were sinners. So Jesus is paying attention to the details of the people that is suffering. What about when he encountered people that they were asking for a healing? You remember the father who was asking for healing of his boy that was possessed by a demon? That even the disciples were not able to do it? So he's listening and he asked the father, can you believe? And the father honestly answered, help me. I don't know if I can, right? So the Lord is going beyond the aspects that we normally look and is listening carefully to the necessities of the people. And that made him a great, great savior. That's the difference in ministry from Jesus and from us. Our skills and listenings are very, very limited, right? We don't pay that much attention. And finally, another detail that I want to mention to you is that the Lord was very sensitive to his own voice, right? You remember when he's praying in Gethsemane, the night previous to the crucifixion, and he's asking God to reveal another way. But at the end of the prayer, well, how the prayer ends? No, my will, but what? And that's a surrender. That's a beautiful prayer of in total dedication to God. And I have to tell you, that's not easy to do. Knowing what will happen to him, especially, you know, what will come to him next day, he's willing to go through all that as long as it's the will of the Father. So to me, that's a very important lesson right there. That he was willing to listen to God's voice and also to realize his own feelings. Right? Don't get confused in these two items. And I need to caution you, right? Don't create your own answers, right? Wait for God to answer you. Because we have the tendency to be so eager to get an answer that in occasions we see answers when they are not answers yet. So let's wait on the Lord and continue hoping that he will answer to us. So what is the challenge for you and for me today? I don't know for how long had you been a Christian. To be honest, some of you had maybe 20, 30 years, 40 years, I don't know. But even if you are a newborn Christian or you have been a long time with God, we all need to practice this skill, listening to God's voice, right? It requires training. It requires discipline because God doesn't always speak when words, right? But he will definitely make an influence in your heart and trying to communicate with you and help you in whatever challenge you have. I want to say finally that in many occasions we pray for things to God, but very seldom we come back and say thank you, right? And I feel that it's important to us to come back and say thank you. Today, in front of you, I want to say to God, thank you for helping us to finish the building. It was a great challenge, to be honest. It's amazed me how many, many things that he helped us to get through. But God is faithful and he helped us. And that experience is telling me, and it should tell you, that he will continue helping you, right? God, we need to see the future with optimism, believing that God is still in control and that he will lead us to a victorious path, that we have a mission to fulfill here in Aiken. I don't know exactly to what details we have to do, but I know the Lord wants us to do ministry in Aiken, and he's providing us with the tools to do ministry in Aiken. So let's continue praying as a church and getting united behind that idea that the Lord continued and is continued trying to reach to us so that we can hear his message today. Dear church family, today I mentioned before we had communion, and I want to explain to you that we have three sections in the church. One in the back is always reserved for couples. If you and your spouse want to go there and do food washing, you can do food washing in the back in the fellowship hall. The room here toward my right, I have Gabriela here just to confirm, just in the nick of time. Sister Gabriela, the room here is for the gentlemen, correct? Okay, and the room here in my left will be for the ladies. So we invite you and we encourage you to go and partake of the food washing. And I had to mention something else before we move on. As a church, we believe in the food washing because we feel that that's part of the humbling ourselves and trying to please God. But some of you have some challenges, some limitations. I've been in churches with people who have diabetes, for instance, and they are very concerned with a food infection or toe infection or problems that they can have. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to trying to encourage you to get a relationship with God. If you, for some reason, can't partake of the food washing, but you want to take communion, please stay. Don't go. Right? Take the communion. I will try, if you can, encourage everybody to partake of the food washing. I think it's a beautiful experience. But I don't know your personal challenges, and you know better than me. And so and I have to say this just for clarification in case somebody is struggling here, right? We tend to ignore these situations and think everybody's healthy, right? We are all good. No, we are all in different circumstances. So our invitation is to all of you to partake of the communion. But even if you don't want to do it today, we want you to stay, please. Don't go home. Let's continue praising the Lord and worshiping together, and we will have communion. And we also had Robert in the back that he won't let you go anyway. couples in the back. And so, please, if you are so kind, can you stand? Let's have a prayer before we split in the different rooms. Heavenly Father, today, with gratitude in our hearts, we want to ask you, Lord, to help us to enjoy this communion celebration here in an old church. Father, you have led us and guided us through many challenges, and you continue presenting a new future for the church in Aiken. We are grateful for that. Help us to listen to your voice, O Father. In Jesus' name, amen.